Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? Out and I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hey guys, welcome to another Definitely Dying.
Right.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Hey, thanks.
Okay, so it's been truly hot as balls in LA.
Hot as balls.
Well,
muggy.
Muggy, which is not a normal LA thing. Mm-mm. And I have been just sweaty as fuck recently.
Me
like,
too. Right now, even.
Yeah, I've been like more, I'm like an average sweatiness. I'm not like, I wouldn't call myself like an exceptionally sweaty person, but like last week we had that big heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, but then even this week, like, I was so sweaty. I ran into friends of mine at the gym the other day, and they, both of them, the first thing they said was, "Oh my God, you're so sweaty," which is like not, I think like I must have just been so visibly sweaty that I didn't even think it was rude to say that.
No, I mean, it's been like, I mean, I can't speak right now. You look, you don't look that way, but it's been, it has been noticeable. I went to dinner maybe last Friday with friends, past podcast guests, and our friends, David Phillips and Joe Saunders.
Oh, yeah.
And by the end of the meal, we were all physically dehydrated, like that, where you have like the patches of red, like you're like, it's been like that. And it's weird because there's been no rain, which is usually what would lead to the humidity, because it's LA's a dry climate.
Yeah.
So usually if it, like if there's a period of rain, then it'll be humid for like a few days.
Yeah.
It's been utterly dry, except the air is just rich with moisture. It sounded gross as I was saying it.
No, that doesn't sound good. I mean, it's a gross state of being.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. But the good thing is that I like, if any faithful listeners to the podcast will remember this as a previous thing we've discussed a couple times, is like the impossibility of finding a natural deodorant that actually works.
This is true.
Just trash.
Yeah.
And I finally found one, and I want to shout it from the rooftops. I'm so excited. I can't. I like was talking to a friend of mine, and out of nowhere, I was like, are you in search of a natural deodorant that works? And she was like, are you part of a pyramid scheme? I like really keep bringing it up.
You've been
no
in too many
motivation.
Commercials.
I know.
You can sell anything at this point.
It's so good. It's called, did you bump yourself?
Did. No, we got to switch over to the knee bumping podcast intro. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that really looked like it
hurt. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't fun either.
No, I heard, well, I'll take a little detour. I bumped my knee so hard 2 days ago. I hit it on a tiny metal table, like a stupid coffee table that was just at below the knee level, like in that soft part under your knee. And I walked into it. I didn't see it. So I walked into it with the force of someone just walking through air in the world. And I hit my knee so hard that it broke the skin through my jeans.
Oh, damn.
It hurt. It like hurt. All it, I probably bumped it at 3 p.m. and it hurt until I went to sleep that night at like midnight. It like fully just hurt. It hurts so much that for some reason my other knee hurts too.
No, I know.
Like sympathy hurts.
I know that. Also, there's something about when you connect with metal, there's sort of that reverberating sound that's like terrifying and adds a layer of pain for some reason.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
And my elbows hurt, but I don't know why.
Yeah, you've been talking about some joint trouble.
Yeah, my
since we
joints
got here.
Hurt. I've been trying to get strong, but I don't know how, so I've been just doing push-ups.
That probably is part of it.
I think I hurt my elbows.
But also, like, I bought a stationary bike recently, and I've been riding it pretty much every day, like, for a little while.
A little while
I watch television.
Yeah.
And honestly, my knees have been sore ever since, too.
Oh.
Like, I think a combination of the heat mixed with like intensified activity.
Yes.
I think it probably is having like a painful
like
physical
a joint
effect.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, my elbows are both.
And
really
I don't
sore.
Remember what it is, but there's something that you're supposed to, like joint pain is supposed to be indicative of like some one of those malnourishment kinds of things.
Oh,
like
no.
There isn't enough, like you're not having enough milk or something like
that.
Can
you Google it, Zig?
And that because I want to say it's the
wrong?
Milk because it leads to like osteoporosis.
Oh, no.
But I don't.
I need to get some calcium chews.
Yeah, you might need some calcium.
Yeah.
That might be
because I don't really get any. I mean, I don't. Well, I eat cheese sometimes.
Right.
But
which
I don't drink milk.
And you're not going to eat enough cheese to maybe compensate for like a lack of calcium because we wouldn't want you to. I mean, that would be like a lot of cheese.
I would want me to. Joint pain.
Very difficult. Madeline is a very difficult person when you try to deprive her of her cheese.
Hey. Arthritis patients. Oh, well, that's not encouraging. Arthritis patients feel an uncomfortable pressure in their joints on days of high humidity and low barometric pressure, especially just before a storm.
So, okay, so we got that part right.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, but
did
I don't
brick
know
the milk
what,
thing?
Can you Google what do you need when your joints hurt?
Yeah, like what's the deficiency?
What do you need when your joints hurt?
Just the sympathy of a podcast host.
Well, no, nobody's really
milk
says.
Is the milk thing is just like for your growing bones. I think, like, I think calcium is good for enriching bones with density, right?
Milk joint pain. Dairy may contain calcium, but it also causes calcium and mineral loss in the bones and muscle cells, which can lead to joint pain. I'm eating more ice cream because it's the summer.
Oh, so maybe you're having too much calcium.
Maybe.
Huh.
Maybe I'm having too much fun, too much ice cream, and now my joints hurt.
We got to the bottom of Madeline's joint pain. Too much fun.
Too much fun, baby. So, okay, so we should start the podcast, but before we start, I do want to heavily recommend Schmidt's natural deodorant. It is so good. Mm-hmm. It's it comes in a bunch of different scents. I got it at Lassen's, but I think you can get it at on the website. And I also want to give us... Yeah, it's like on... It's like a health food store.
Okay.
I think
is
you can probably
is that a brand too?Lassen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can also probably get it at Whole Foods. I really am enjoying the lime bergamot scent.
Hmm.
And the best thing about it is it has something in it like maybe like a sea salt or something that is a little scratchy under your armpits, but it feels good. And it kind of plugs up your sweat glands the way aluminum does. I mean, it's not like flawless, but it's so much closer to regular deodorant without having any of the bad stuff in it. And I want to give a special shout out to Veronica Gruba because she's the one who made a very valuable Facebook post suggesting this deodorant. And a bunch of women I know have gotten it since, and everybody can't say enough nice stuff about it.
Nice.
Get some Schmidt's. It's like $9, which is insane, but worth it.
Mm-hmm. And when you do so, give a shout out to Veronica Gruba.
Yeah. Thanks, Veronica.
Thanks, Veronica.
And listen to her podcast.
Yeah.
Who We Used to Be.
Who We Used to Be.
It's unrelated to deodorant, but it's a terrific podcast.
Well, or maybe who she used to be was a smelly pitted lady who now has her hands on some
and
good
now
deodorant.
She smells great.
She smells
great. And
is
spreading the news.
Good work, Veronica.
Good work. Let's start the podcast.
Start it.
Wow.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you. We have a great guest for you today. We're so excited to have him. He's a very talented writer, director, and stand-up comedian. You know him from Saturday Night Live and Jimmy Kimmel Live. Pretty much everything live that's ever been on television.
Yeah, nothing
you know
pre-recorded.
Him from.
Never.
He's got too much guts for that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show. Like, you can't do that on a live, not
why
live
not?
Show because there's no one
oh,
here.
Oh, wait, you do
Madeline.
It. Do it.
Yeah, Madeline, please welcome to the show, Zach Bornstein. Round of applause anyone's ever gotten
it
on
felt
this show.
Very sarcastic.
No, not at all.
Small room with few people.
I felt like I was on a real roll, and then I got to please welcome to the podcast, and I realized,
I often want to say please welcome to the podcast, and then I don't know what to say instead.
It's just the name after that. You did all the heavy lifting.
I pad it too much, and I kind of lose the thread too. I'll get on a tangent, and then. And then I'll say the name and it'll seem unrelated to anything we're doing.
Then I get on the mic and the guests come away feeling like the intro was sarcastic.
Yeah, very. Anytime I'm introducing someone at stand-up, I always get to the name and then the second before I say it, I'm like, I don't know their name. I'm going to say this wrong.
Yeah.
And so I always just scream it. So if there's any mistakes in there, it just kind of gets drowned out in noise.
I always realize this, especially like in this situation, but more so when I used to do these like table reads for the class. And yeah, you would realize all of a sudden, like you'd never said a person's name out loud and we're going to hear it for the first time when you were announcing it to like a room full of people. And that like just the way that like we have a friend, we even talked about it before. Mono Agapian.
Yeah.
Never heard his name out loud. Could have been Agapian and could have been Agapian. And both of them, neither one of them is offensive or upsetting, but it caused me so much panic having to say that name that I murdered him. I killed him with my hand.
This is a bad forum to say that.
You're right.
Recorded.
This is one of your live gigs.
Trump Jr. email of confessions. Nice.
So, Zach, we start the podcast sort of the same way every time after an intro that we feel we really didn't nail.
No, it was good.
Now that sounded sarcastic.
Yeah. No, it was good. Yeah.
That's really nice. We like to start off with this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
How much do I think about death?
Yes.
It's interesting. I guess not that interesting, but I don't know. I don't know what
the
I don't have any comparison to how much other people think about death,
sure.
I guess. But it definitely goes in waves where, you know, sometimes I'm way up at the nines, sometimes I'm in the O's.
Where are you at right now?
Maybe 6 or 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's crossing your mind.
Is there any, what sends it up to the nines?
Birthdays. If someone dies, then you're that'll happen to me.
Sure. Yeah.
Hunger sadness is such a easy, quick fix.
Yeah,
just take
really
some Skittles. It's like pills. It's great.
And then you get that gross commercial disease that you get where the Skittles pop up all over your face.
Oh, yeah.
What? You haven't seen those terrifying commercials. They're really horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This isn't a real thing. No.
You like there's a guy, he's got like Skittles all over his face, and then he gives a Skittle to his friend, and his friend's like, is that contagious? And the guy's like, no. And then the guy has Skittles. Like, as a child, it was like every Tom Petty video from childhood. It was just like just sheer horror, like, and as an adult it was just like, that's stupid, that's a weird way to sell Skittles. But as a child, I would have needed to go to therapy over
that's
that
really
no question.
Like a Reese's commercial is just you get leprosy if you eat it. Why would they associate a disease with a pleasant candy?
That Butterfinger's the same color as my jaundice. it's a terrible commercial, and Skittles, it needs to stop.
I know.
But Skittles, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we love you. We love your commercials.
Yeah, I do love Skittles.
Yeah.
So you said also birthdays make you think about stuff?
I think then you're just like, oh, now I have one less.
Right.
I have one less to do.
What about like when you have like if like something good happens, like say in your career, like if you have like a successful moment in your career, do you tend to like do you tend to become fearful of like the other shoe dropping, or do you tend to be somebody who's like excited by life?
Of dying?
No, not necessarily just death. Like, are you somebody who's who becomes afraid of like the imminent possibility of death when good things happen to you, or do you really embrace life when you're happy?
I think when good things happen, I'm more ready for death because okay. I'll yeah. be like, I'll have a better like legacy. Yeah, now. Yeah. It's just like one more little like detail in a eulogy that someone could say for me.
Yeah.
So it seems almost more comfortable the better I've done. Because the less I do, before I had done anything, I was like, man, if I die today, just it'll just have no effect whatsoever. People won't know what to say. Yeah. It won't even be in the local paper.
It'll just be a huge bummer.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll only be sad.
Local man fails to reach potential.
I know. Yeah. I know. If I die, people will be like, this woman did several commercials and came really close to a couple neat things. I really have to make sure somebody knows the things I almost got.
I think that was the happiest thing when I got SNL was just, I was like, now if I die, it will be in my like high school newsletter.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be a thing about it. Yeah. They can't ignore it now. I haven't gotten past that, but.
Have you had a 10-year reunion yet from high school?
No.
No. Okay, so
I think it's next year.
Okay. Will you go? Because...
Yeah, I think so. I was really widely disliked in my high school.
Really?
For very good reason.
Why?
I think it was just annoying. I tried to be friends with everyone, but I just had like no like personality or identity. So I was just like constantly cycling in. I told you a little bit about this. But I think one story that kind of encapsulates it is I did the high school talent show, and it was in this like identity stage where I was trying to be a rapper
because
there was this very popular rapper at my high school.
Oh,
and it was also the high school where Macklemore went, but
really?
It was like his like
project.
Where is
that? Where did you grow up?
Place called Garfield in Seattle.
Oh, cool, cool.
And I was at the talent show, and I was doing this original rap, and I was very much into it, and I did that thing where you like hold the mic to the audience, expecting them to sing the chorus,
as though they had. This wasn't the first time they were
exactly.
hearing this
and also
song
like
yet.
They were having
and
a nice
they
time.
Liked it, and we gotta uh-huh. say this, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, they're gonna sing it back to me, but I just heard one guy in the crowd just go, no. I was like, okay, cool, yeah, that's. Oh, people hate
fair.
Me.
Okay,
no
fair.
One backed me up. People are like, hey, thanks for telling him, so we didn't have to do it.
So you invented that hip hop trend.
Yeah, just screaming no at people.
Well, when did you get cool?
I'm not cool. That's very kind of you to assume, but I'm truly
the most Madeline question that anyone's ever
Well, like, because I wasn't cool either. I was no fun in high school. I was a real drag. And so it's also, like, not a surprise to me that, like, I had, like, a true small handful of friends.
Sure,
And I also don't think I'm cool.
You're
but,
cool. I think you're cool.
Thanks. I think you're cool too.
Oh my god.
Never there's like so evidence that neither of you are cool. I was dope in high school.
I feel like maybe like when I moved to LA is when I like maybe finally became like a nice person who anybody would wish to spend time with. So like
mine was a little more intentional at some point. I remember my freshman year of college, I smoked a lot of weed.
Oh,
and
okay.
I kind of went through the like meta stage of like, oh man, I'm bad for these reasons. I don't like these parts. So I actively tried to be like, okay, you know, listen more and like compliment people when you like something about them and like support other people's stuff and like just like learning like just like pleasant things that are more thing. And it was just from being high and being like, oh man, like 16-year-old Zach sucked. Like just like trying to run from that dude.
So some people, it sounds like you did the weed version of reading like How to Win Friends and Influence.
I guess it sounds more Machiavellian than it actually was.
No,
it was just like be pleasant was the big takeaway. Yeah. But
how to smoke weed and influence people sounds not at all. I mean, it sounds very chill. I think it's like a Machiavellian Snoop Dogg, maybe.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
So, do you would you consider yourself a hypochondriac? Do you consider yourself somebody who is fearful of sickness and injury?
It definitely goes in waves as well, kind of like the death talk. Because you know, right now I feel healthy and vibrant, but there's times in you know, if you ever get like a blood test or something,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, I got it all. I got it. Yeah. I've got sure. everything.
So you have felt, so you're the kind of person who gets a test and thinks you have.
I try not. Yeah, yeah. I try to get tests yeah. and whatnot. I'd get a physical. I started doing more tests once I got insurance because yeah.
oh,
I was
yes.
like, now I can do all that.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah. Definitely.
But
so you got them all? Did you go and do like the whole litany of?
Anytime yeah. I go to the doctor, I'm yeah. like, give me every yeah. test, like test yeah. for like 1800s diseases that don't exist
right?
anymore. I don't want like, and then I always get the full readout with like, you know, like white blood cell and all
oh,
the like
yeah.
lipid ratios, yeah. and I love seeing that stuff too. Because then also I'm like, okay, now I'm probably healthier than I'll be when I'm like 40 or 50 or 60
yeah.
and I can kind of compare
oh.
you know
that's, yeah,
how
that's really
am
smart.
I falling
yeah. I don't that's for that reason I don't look at any of those things
because oh, really?
I don't like subjecting myself to a narrative of decline. I don't weigh myself. I don't like
oh,
I
wow.
really like I don't Oh, I learned early because I have like a little bit of an obsessive personality that like
oh,
if
gotcha.
I attach, yeah, I just like really don't like to know any numbers evaluating how I'm doing because it's like
wow.
too easy for me to then be like, it's on its way down. it's all downhill from here.
I think it is yeah. though. I
yeah,
think
yeah.
we're all declining.
Yeah.
After like, what, 16, we just all start falling.
That's the age?
I don't know.
I think
it's getting earlier every
yeah.
year.
I think 25 is the age when you like stop growing up and like you start, like you
start
stop like
down.
Growing into, yeah,
yeah
you start,
oh,
growing
man.
Start growing down.
When you stop growing up and start
growing
down.
Sounds like the beginning of your high school
yeah.
rap. No!
My middle school had a rap.
Really?
Oh, no, my
like
elementary school had a school
what?
Rap.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was like, we are the kids from Clinton School.
It's not a rap. Have you heard rap?
I know. You just like set the culture back years.
We had this hard hip hop track back right. in elementary school. It was like daisies and froggies. They go hopping down the road. Just like that new Kendrick track.
When someone samples We Are the Kids from Clinton School in a new track, you're going to be eating your words.
It does seem like it has like a it's a hard knock life quality
oh,
to it
yeah.
that you could imagine Jay-Z co-opting.
It was it got even worse because it was like, we come each day to learn the golden rule.
Oh no.
Our banner's red. Our banner's white. Inside these halls, the colors will unite. I know the rest,
oh
but
God.
I'm not. I'm not gonna. I have like a bad memory in general, but an unfortunately good memory for like. Like for songs for any so like shit like that will I will
forever
be old. I will not remember any of my family members' names, and I will I will do that Clinton School
we are
rap.
The kids.
Yeah.
It's crazy, music sticks in your brain
yeah,
for
it really does.
It could be just you put any word to like a dumb melody and your brain's
yeah.
just like keep it
yes
yeah.
we're gonna
yes.
need that forever.
Do you study Ben said is that this is a true fact that you study neuroscience?
Yeah
I mean, I just looked it up on Facebook.
I exposed you as being a real creep. I assumed you as a doctor.
It's front and center. It's fine. You asked me like you were scared you'd be wrong
well,
about it.
Can
like,
I tell
how
you?
Dare you?
Well, in our last interview, which this may be, I don't know whether it'll come out before or after this, but I fully assumed that our guest, Deborah Baker Jr., had a middle initial, like was
oh,
like
yeah.
a middle initial person. I thought she was like Deborah. I was like, would you prefer to be introduced as Deborah Baker Jr. or Deborah E. Baker Jr.? And she was like, my middle name doesn't start with an
yeah.
E.
She was like, my middle name is Van Clout or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, was just, would you like to be referred to as your name or this other random thing that I made up? Would you like to be Madeline or Shrimple Doodle Dandy?
Answer, Madeline. Would you rather be Madeline or Shrimple Doodle Dandy?
Of course, Shrimple Doodle Dandy.
Finally, you've been ducking that question for the last 62 episodes.
I mean, I'm
you
on
62 episodes?
Something like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's resolve.
Hey. That really is. That honestly is the most accurate description.
Maybe we should resolve the podcast. I'm over hypochondria. Yay!
Oh, you're cured. Dang. That was effective.
Having studied neuroscience.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Do you think about the brain a lot, or does it, like, help? Like, how much does that actually, like, come into the way that you live your life on a regular basis?
It definitely used to more, because when I was, like, in labs and stuff and, like, doing experiments, I'd, like, kind of think about everything kind of through that lens. But less so now that I'm just, like, going whole hog into comedy. Because I thought I was going to go back to do, like, research programs in med school for brains.
Huh.
Yeah.
But when I didn't do that, I don't know. I think I guess I used to think about it a lot more, but I still do.
What made you so you studied it in college, and then you were going to go to med school to be a neurologist or a researcher? Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do an MD, PhD.
Oh, cool. What made you decide not to?
I think it was just comedy's so fun, and you just like hearing people like clap and laugh, and like it's a drug. Like you can't once. I just started doing more and more comedy in college, and it was just so goddamn satisfying to have like just like a room full of people facing you, like laughing at your thoughts.
Yeah,
and even when it didn't go well, it was still fun to like be with your buddies who were doing the same thing and be like, can you believe we tried that in front of so many people?
Yeah.
So then when I got to New York, I was taking a year off to apply for these like scholarships and stuff, and then it just kind of went well quickly-ish.
Oh, cool.
So it was like enough to be able to support myself. And
comedy
then,
was?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So then I just was like, I'm going to try this for another year.
Yeah,
and then,
What were you doing? What was your first, like, what was the thing that made you like, oh, I could support myself?
It kind of was like a slow trickle. The first thing was my first job out of college, I was a page at Letterman, which was not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
It was kind of, they were doing a bad thing that I can't really talk about, but they were doing like a very unethical thing. So I left that after 5 months, and then I like made these like videos for like this like textbook company to like support myself. But then I started this sketch group that like started making money on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
And then from that I was like did random gigs with College Humor and The Onion and MTV. A lot of those companies were still in New York at the time
before
they moved to LA and Chicago and whatnot.
And I think a big thing, like, I think surviving is realizing that, like, that you can get one job and then it's possible that that's a fluke, and then you just sort of hope that the next one will come around. But if you're somebody who sort of is nickel and diming your way through Hollywood because a variety of people are willing to pay you a little sum of money, it's easier for that to eventually translate into a big picture thing that's, like, working on the whole or just to know that, like, this is actually success. Like, this is me being good at something.
Yes.
We're not going to have millions immediately, but if a few people are willing to pay you a little sum of money, you can live, and you know that you're good enough for a variety of people.
Yeah.
It was, like, it makes it less scary, too, because then you're like, oh, if one of them, once something falls through, then you're not out in the... I also did some real shit jobs.
Sure. Like, we all do.
I worked on this show called Eel of Fortune on Animal Planet, which was about eel fishing.
And now you'll tell us about one of the bad jobs.
That was the tops. It got canceled mid first season. It was shot almost all on GoPros and like cell phone footage.
Oh my god!
And we would like piece together like voiceover clips from characters from like different things they had said like months apart to like force them.
Insane.
And then like the contestants, if you can even call it that, but there was no prize. Like, we're like suing the show for like revealing some like tax fraud that they had done. And so it got canceled after like 7 episodes,
oh
I think.
Gosh.
It didn't, and also they didn't have the balls to call it Eel of Fortune when it went to air. They called it Cold River Cash at the last minute.
Oh, I know. If it was called Eel of Fortune,
oh my God,
I knew it'd still be right. A hit. Yeah. But just
or
based
just
on
six
the name.
Episode yeah. cancel.
No guts, no glory.
Eel of Fortune.
Eel of Fortune.
So then, what initially drew you to what? Like, so that's what was pulling you to comedy, and what was pulling you to like work in the medical field?
Brains are so crazy. Brains are so interesting. Just like everything that we do and like everything is because of this just like one like softball thing of mush in our head. That even brains thinking about brains is crazy. It's like trying to understand yourself. And it's like kind of the only, like, to me, it seems like the like most interesting like frontier of science right now, because we're like too early for space, and we've kind of done the Earth. I mean, we can go deeper, but we vaguely know what's going on. It seems like the interesting stuff right now is looking at like really going really small in the brain. It's just so crazy too what goes on in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it changes itself. It's crazy.
It's,
it's so weird.
That's a good point.
What's an, like, can you tell me a crazy brain fact?
Oh, man, I got so many.
Yeah.
In what genre?
Oh, man. Do you have, like, one that related to hypochondria?
A lot of the most interesting stuff happens in sleep. So they're in sleep, and there's different stages of sleep, and your brain actually, like, re-experiences your memories in order and backwards order, and then it reshuffles them.
Really?
Yeah, it, like, replays your memories while you're sleeping.
Huh.
And sleep's crazy. I worked in a sleep lab for a while. That was also really weird, where we would keep kids underground for 12 days at a time and study them.
Is this the Letterman story?
The Late Show is one big run for a very questionable season.
All of those jokes sounded juvenile.
Just a bunch of sleepy kids. They're writing all this humor. That's funny.
What was that sleep study?
It was a very good sleep study by a very good researcher. It was not unethical, so the kids were happy, but it was we had all these kids. I think I'm allowed to talk about this. I'm not sure. We didn't sign an NDA or anything. All right.
Okay. And also you can tell us
after the fact.
Fact
we can cut it. Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to ask. Hey, I talked about your research procedures on a comedy podcast. Is that cool? Maybe they don't email us anymore. We'd put kids on 4-hour days and keep them where they would sleep for an hour and a half and be awake for 2.5 hours and with no sunlight and have a bunch of electrodes on their head and then run test batteries on them whenever they woke up and like collect their saliva and pee and stuff. And then
this is like at Columbine High School.
That's what made them snap. And we would watch them sleep on infrared cameras, and they sometimes in the middle of the night. This is very common. Everyone does this, hump their bed.
Everybody does that.
Everyone humps their bed. We called it the special wiggles, but it's called a parasomniac event. But people just hump their bed. And also, anytime you're in REM sleep, which is like the dreaming part of sleep, it's like the last half hour of every hour and a half, you have a boner. And girls are the equivalent.
Wow. Yeah, that is a. During the REM cycle, men have erections.
Because the reason that happens is you don't act out your dreams. Essentially, your brainstem cuts off communication to your spine so that you're not like, you know, some people act out their dreams. It's because that signal's still going through when it shouldn't.
Oh.
But when you're REM cycle, your body just like literally your muscles just go flatline. And you actually naturally have a boner, but you have a sphincter all the time that's tense. And so when your muscles go flatlined, it loosens and fills up with blood.
Okay. So it's not like a rigor mortis thing or something.
It's
the opposite. Like you get...
Yeah, rigor mortis is... Yeah,
like
that's
you get
a whole
so
different
stiff
thing.
From Wow.
What happened to kids on this insane sleep schedule?
The reason that it was interesting is you assume that people have a natural sleep cycle that's 24 hours, but the reason it's 24 hours, not all animals have that. The reason it's 24 hours is because it's mostly synced up to sunlight, and so you like sync it up. But when you have no cues from the outside world, these kids didn't have clocks or there was no light.
How old?
From like 10 to 18. It was showing how it changes over puberty. it was you go into free running where you have a where you see what your natural like because as you get older your cycle gets longer. So like your natural cycle is like a 25-hour day or a 23-hour day or something like that.
And so then as you get older, it gets...
It shrinks. I forget which way it goes.
Okay.
It either gets shorter or longer. But without that, you can measure it.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if it is crazy. I'm sorry if I got really boring.
That's a great story.
Oh, God.
I always wonder about like... So these are kids you said they were between the ages of 10 and 18, and then how long did they go through this for?
9 to 12 days at a time.
Wow.
So every kid came in having been conditioned to the natural world.
Exactly.
It wasn't like...
children coming in.
Well, but you like hear about these, you don't really, but like the idea that like you could train a child to respond positively to pain if they were only ever if it had been sort of institutionalized.
Who are you talking to?
Doctor, you're talking to.
What party are you talking to?
Kids love pain.
Yeah, good to hang out like a wood clown.
Yeah, it's a wood clown thing. That anything that you reward can be turned into a positive.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
If you take a 10-year-old kid, that kid has already been conditioned to respond to positive reinforcement. And so what you'd be testing is how much you can nurture evolutionary change, you know? Mm. Like how much can the world changing affect in a short period of time? Because otherwise we would say that like a cow developed the tail to swat away flies over like 30,000 years, you know? But like how if you forced a kid to react positively to negativity, or if you forced a kid to maybe create his own dopamine or whatever, you know, because there was like the inability for whatever, that kind of thing. How fast could we institute evolutionary change just by virtue of every creature on the planet needing to find a way to survive despite whatever obstacles we place in front of them? Anyway.
anyway, I'm hard.
Have you had any major health problems in your life?
I haven't had much. I'm trying to think if I have any big ones.
Any big hospital visits?
I had a funny hospital. I've had a couple funny hospital visits. One was my friend goes surfing, my friend Adam, and he fell on his surfboard and he hurt his nose and it was bleeding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he told his girlfriend who was out of town and he was going, I'm fine, I don't want to go to the hospital. She called all of his friends independently and said, Adam needs you to take him to the hospital. And we were like, fuck, what happened? And she wouldn't tell us. So we were just like, all right, fine. So we all went to his house and we were like debating whether or not he had broken his nose or if he just had a funny looking nose we had never noticed before. So we were like, okay, this will put everyone's mind at ease if we just go to the hospital. So we went to the hospital and he's checking in and going through all the nose stuff. And it takes a while to like check in and everything. After like 45 minutes of just hanging out, I said to my friends, I was like, hey guys, while we're here, I don't know, does this look weird to you? And I pulled up my pant legs and both my like from the knee down on my shins were just these like massive like pussy sores.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, what is that? Definitely go in there. And I was like, are you sure it might just go away? And they're like, are they getting bigger? I was like, yeah. And they're like, go in there. I was like, all right, I guess while I'm here. So I was trying to figure out if my insurance covered it for like a half an hour, and the person at the front desk, they're like not allowed to tell you if the insurance covers it, because the idea of a hospital is that you just go if you need it. Like, you go, and then afterwards they figure out insurance.
Ugh.
So I was like, I don't know. So finally I went in, and I was like, man, this is just going to be a big old waste of time. But then the doctor saw it, and he was like, I'm so glad you came in. If this had gone on like another week, we'd be talking amputation.
What?
Apparently what had happened is I had some bug bites that got a staph infection.
Oh.
And it had like spread throughout both my legs.
No.
And they were like oozing. And I thought it would just go away, but they got bigger and angrier. And I got this shot in my butt. that was like truly the most painful. It was like Mike Tyson like punched me in the ass. It was bruised and like I couldn't sit for like a week. It was so painful, but it was like this super antibiotic that knocks you out. And then my friend had gotten out like an hour earlier.
Was his nose broken?
Not broken even a little bit.
He just had a weird nose?
It
turns out he had a weird nose and a hypochondriac girlfriend who manipulated all his friends into accidentally saving my legs.
What a combination.
Yeah. So they ended up having to wait like 4 hours while I was getting all this leg treatment and like getting checked through all the yada yadas.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
So did they hurt really bad, right? They had to have hurt.
They were like really sore, but I was always wearing pants and it felt like, have you ever had pants over like a bad bug bite and just like rubbing
just
a little bit?
Friction,
it was that feeling. I was like, it's probably nothing. Like I'm just being annoying about it, but it was... I have photos. It's real gruesome.
Will you send them to us?
I will not. They're really bad. I can't let these get out. I'll never get leg modeling work again.
I was a couple months ago, I was in Mexico City with Ben Green, and he had gotten a bunch of bug bites on his ankle, and like they morphed together. He got so many bug bites, and he did this thing that I would have been terrified if I hadn't seen this happen before, but he scratched them so much that they all came together and became one sort of super bug bite. Like it was like truly like, and I do have a picture of this because I was taking pictures to track its progress to see if it was an emergency or not.
That's nice.
Well, I'm a hypochondriac.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm a very fearful person. I'm not nice. I'm just full of fear.
Sure.
And my friend who I was staying with, she was really worried that it was going to be a staph infection because she was saying like there are these like spiders and they're in like South Texas and Mexico and they carry staph. And so a spider bite can happen and then you could just get a bunch of staph and then your leg is gone.
Ugh.
Staph is so scary.
It is really scary.
A staph infection is no joke.
It's not. Yeah. It doesn't
How did
around.
Your bug bites get staph infected? Do you
I
know?
I have no idea.
That's the scariest part.
We went camping and then like a week later. And I was also extra scared because my brother got like bit by a tick and he got Lyme disease real bad.
No, that's one of just my like, number one big. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine now. Okay. He just snapped out of it like this year.
Wait, really?
Nice.
Yeah.
After how long?
3-4 years. Yeah, he just was walking through tall grass and then like he was like bedridden for like 2 years.
Wow.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Those bugs, man, they'll get you.
Yeah.
They will get you. Yeah.
And fuck you up.
Yeah. Bugs versus humans.
Bugs versus humans.
Yeah, bugs win.
Yep.
Every time.
Win.
Yeah. What's your other good hospital story?
So the other time was, so it takes a little while to get there, but
great.
I was, it's a 40 minute story. I was on a first date with a girl. So we went to a Chinese restaurant cause it was on Christmas Day and she was also Jewish and we went to get lunch and it was not going to be a good date cause it was like bright Christmas Day lunch where like it was all families in there.
Yeah.
And they put down the like, you know, the table, the paper cloth and the tea and everything. And I had this joke at the time with my friends. It was just a bit that we would do where we just like pretend to hurt ourselves, like pretend to like pour something on us or like punch ourselves in the head or just like some dumb bit.
Yeah.
And we truly didn't know each other at all. And we were just doing like, oh, you know, where are you from? We're at that level still.
Yeah.
So she goes to pour herself some tea, you know, those like metal teapots.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to think I was funny. So I was like, oh, I'll do this thing. So I went, please allow me. And I took the teapot out of her hand. And instead of pouring in her cup like a person, I pretended to pour it on my head. I was like, oh. But then the teapot was like super full.
Oh, no.
And so I just poured tea on my head. And I was like, ah! I dropped it. And it spilled everywhere. The whole thing went in her lap. And she starts screaming. And everyone's like, it was so weird, too, because it was like a very smooth, like, she goes to pour herself tea. And I'm like, please allow me. And then I just pour it on my head instantly. And we're screaming. And then she was like really burned in the leg. So we end up going to the hospital together.
No.
And,
no way.
And we were trying to like explain what had happened, and all the doctors like, how did, and I was like, how's she gonna like explain this to people? And the way she did it, she told a doctor, she went, he poured hot tea on me. Like she wasn't subtle about it even a little bit.
Not even 100% accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was like on purpose.
But it was like better than being like, this gentleman poured hot tea on his head. Yeah, and then
she had to be like, okay, so I was dating this idiot goofball.
Also, did you explain her at that point that you were trying to be funny? Or you
just like there was no time. It was like I instantly burnt myself and her, and then we went to the hospital. And then after that point, all the like doctors and nurses were like giving me the stink eye because they thought I like did this on purpose to this girl. And it was like
the only person on purpose
like,
you poured tea on was yourself.
Yeah, that was like this like fancy domestic abuser who like pours tea on my girlfriend.
That is definitely.
I can't believe you almost didn't tell that.
Yeah. Also, not long at all.
Oh, yeah.
You said, like, this takes forever to get to. Literally, you show up on a date, pour hot tea in your head, and go to the hospital.
One of the funniest parts of that story is how fast
the wheels fall off. First 4 minutes. Like, I was still asking her, like, where did you go to college? And they're like,
Well, it had to be early enough where they bring you the tea, but they haven't brought anything else, which
is immediately.
Upon arriving.
We did not eat. It was Christmas. I burnt a girl on Christmas Day.
I wonder if he just didn't have a wallet.
The only way to get out of it.
Burn me.
And now we're married. No, I never saw her again.
And you still don't know where she's from.
Yeah. I don't know where she's from.
No. Yeah, did not come out in this meet cute.
Yeah. I thought of a couple of cool brain things, by the way.
Oh, really?
Most of the cool brain things are people who have had really specific brain injuries. Mm-hmm. And then, like, one tiny part of their brain gets knocked out, and then they have, like, a very specific personality change.
Oh. Yeah.
There's this famous case called HM, this guy who had his hippocampus removed to, like, help take out seizures.
Uh-huh.
And he had no short-term memories, but only saying them out loud, but he could still, like, have, like, skills. Like, he couldn't learn any new information, but if you taught him, like, how to play tennis or, like, how to draw on a mirror or some other complex skill, he could learn skills. And it was how they figured out that there were different parts of the brain for, like, saying, like, information and, like, skill-based information.
So he still has, like, muscle memory.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, muscle memory is a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So there's that guy. There's also a guy who got shot right through the front of his head with this like pipe named Phineas Gage. And he like his personality changed because he like lost one specific part of his prefrontal cortex. And so he they like learned that's like part of like the seed of your personality. But his personality changed in like very specific, interesting ways that we could go into when there's more time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which there never will be. I'm coming back.
You can come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would love to. This is fun.
Yeah. No, this is.
So this is a sleep quiz brought to you by WebMD. It's called Why You Need Your Z's.
Mm.
Okay. Question number one. How many times a day is your body programmed to feel sleepy? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Programmed to feel sleepy?
Yeah.
I'll say 3.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, or 4?
Yeah.
It's a toughie. That's why I answered so quickly.
Yeah. And I'll score us on...
Well, there's two different, like, sleep rhythms that people have, and then they interact throughout the day. I would say 1.
Well, WebMD says there's 1 right answer.
Okay. I'll say 1. But okay, I'm guessing the correct answer on there will be 2.
Then do you want it to be 2?
I think the correct answer is 1, but I think they'll say 2.
Okay, so your defiant answer is 1, but you think... Yeah. Okay, great. Correct answer, according to WebMD, is 2.
Mm, those motherfuckers.
Because it says our bodies are programmed for 2 natural periods of sleepiness.
Mm-hmm.
The primary period is between midnight and 7 a.m. And the second period occurs between 1 and 4.
Ooh, the siesta.
Is that false?
That you have 2 separate sleep cycles. They have your circadian rhythm and you have your homeostatic sleep like bank, essentially. And they interact throughout the day. And it just kind of depends on your sleep debt.
Oh.
And one of them's going up, one of them's kind of going down.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, whatever.
You got it right.
Yeah. And also, it's way more interesting to do this quiz with someone who knows more than, like, whoever, like, Googled 10 things and put this quiz together.
Well, you weren't fascinated by my blurting out the word number three and then having no follow-up. That was very
interesting. You know what? Good job.
Thank you.
good job.
That's, hey, see, it didn't feel sarcastic at all to me.
I think it was, though.
What? Why are you taking that?
Very sarcastic. You not pick up on that cue.
Hey, yeah, I'm not all that keen to pick up on these things necessarily. But
okay, which group needs up to 13 hours of sleep per night?
Cats.
Horses only sleep 4 hours.
Whoa. Oh, damn. They're so cool.
Yeah, they got it all.
Horses are so strong.
That's why they're referred to as the opposite of cats.
preschoolers, school-aged children, adolescents, or adults?
Definitely not adults. Adults get like five.
I'm going to say preschoolers.
Preschoolers?
Preschoolers. Or maybe, what was the number two? Kindergartners?
I don't know. Because I already found the right answer. It's preschoolers.
Yeah,
preschoolers.
We did it.
Yeah.
Nice. My first ever right answer. Yeah. And only had to guess it after another person guessed it.
It says most adults need 7 to 9 hours.
8.4 is the exact average.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is that what we should get?
Mm-hmm. 8.4. Well, it depends on who you are, but if you took the average, what person people need for their maximum brain, that would be 8.4.
So it's okay if I sleep more than 8 hours?
I love sleeping more than 8 hours.
I always feel guilty when I do.
Oh, no.
I feel like seven. I can do things, but I'm not overindulging in sleep.
I think you're more efficient and like your brain is better during the day.
At 8.4?
What's different for every person?
Six. That's all anyone needs. If you get 2.4 more, give them back.
Okay. Adults need less sleep as they grow older. True or false?
True. If this one's false, WebMD, you don't know shit about sleep.
WebMD says false.
Fuck. That
WebMD
bullshit.
Says poor sleep is not a normal part of aging. As we get older, we often get less sleep because our ability to sleep for long periods and get into deep restful sleep decreases. Mm. So it says that old people have more fragile sleep but actually need the same amount. Is that wrong?
I've seen like graphs where it just tracks like how much sleep you need, and it's kind of like it's like starts at like 16 to 18 hours as a baby, and then just like kind of dips off and just still kind of decreases throughout the day.
WebMD being funded by the sleep lobby, really pushing the same amount of sleep for everyone then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But also old people wake up a lot more during the night, so they have to sleep for longer periods to try to make up for that. Right.
Also, I would guess mostly old people are reading WebMD quizzes, so maybe WebMD is just trying to not discourage all its readers you gotta be sleeping.
Skip the night coffee.
About half of your sleeping hours are spent dreaming. True or false?
It's a third.
False.
So false.
But it says about half, so we don't know if they're rounding, how deeply they're rounding.
No, you're correct. It says on average, but if they say very specifically, WebMD thinks on average we spend about 2 hours dreaming each night.
Or so of the six that every literal person on the planet needs, that's one third.
Okay, which of the following is the most common cause of nightmares? Eating before going to bed, excessive alcohol consumption, stress and anxiety, or illness with a fever?
I don't know anything about nightmares, but I would also agree.
Stress.
Stress.
It's got to be that stress.
Correct.
Yeah.
Very correct. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, WebMD.
Sleepwalking may include other complex activities such as driving a car, moving furniture, eating, or all of the above.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's kind of. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of an easy one.
Which going back to that thing, that's probably like, I don't think we'd, like, so when your body, you were saying your body sort of goes into like a state of paralysis or whatever, that probably is like a defense mechanism against like throwing yourself out a window during a dream or something, right?
Yeah. And the people who don't have it, they like have been like attack their bed partners.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people have like really, you know, they think they're getting attacked by wolves or something and they're just like punching their spouse because they're brainstem's fucked up.
Jesus. Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
Which of the following can result from not getting enough sleep? Diarrhea, blurred vision, low-grade fever, or all of the above?
I would say all the above.
Yeah, let's go
just
all the
only
above.
Only because I have so much diarrhea and I don't want it to be just me.
And the only source of it could be I'm not sleeping enough. Only blurred vision.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I took this quiz before, though, and my guess was also all of
them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all of the above.
I was like, what? I'm too sleepy. I have all this diarrhea.
I just don't want to blame the old spicy ricotta I have before bed every night.
Maybe it's like a maybe it's like a domino effect thing, like you get blurry vision or whatever, and then as a result, let's move on with the quiz.
You get blurry vision.
This is
going to
take forever. This is, I had my moment like this is
going to
take
cookie,
forever.
But instead, you just
like you get a hot bowl of cheese, or you eat a hot bowl of cheese and you get such vicious diarrhea that your vision goes blurry, and then it's just like
It's really like getting confused between causality and correlation.
Yeah. Give a mouse blurred vision. He'll ask for diarrhea.
Stevie bowl of cheese.
I guess I'm gonna have to stop eating a hot bowl of diarrhea before bed every night. But I'm not going to. I just should.
I forget who had that joke that was like, I took my cat to the vet because he's been having diarrhea, and the doctor or the vet was like, well, what have you been feeding it? And I was like, diarrhea. So good. God damn it. Who was that? I forget who that comic was.
Okay, insomnia is considered chronic when a person has difficulty falling asleep for at least two nights a week for a month or longer. True or false?
False.
I would say true, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's probably true.
Is false.
Well, nice. My first one.
Chronic insomnia.
Well, that was the first one I got without any help.
Oh, I see.
We're really splitting hairs, though, because chronic insomnia is when a person has difficulty falling asleep three nights a week for.
Really. That's like some DSM shit.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. We're going out on the fun topic of sleep apnea.
Hell yeah.
Sleep apnea is characterized by pauses in breathing while you sleep. These pauses can occur how many times per hour? Up to 5 times, up to 10 times, up to 20 times, or 30 times or more.
Shit.
Interesting.
How many times per hour do you stop breathing due to sleep apnea? Mm.
That feels like per hour to do it. So 30 times is an average every 2 minutes, and you're not dead. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You would stop. How long does, I mean, do you have any idea? It's not in there, but how long does a person stop breathing for with sleep apnea?
Like, I'm guessing, they're calling it a pause. So I'm guessing it's like a beat. Momentary. Yeah, beat.
I guess I would say the highest one, 30 or more.
Going 30 times
over. I'll go the lowest one just to play the game. I'll say 5.
Great.
And I can't believe I'm actually remembering the...
Yeah, nice.
I don't usually remember what the answers are, and then I make Madeline say them again, and she doesn't like that part of the game that much.
The part where I have to constantly repeat myself,
which I already pretty much do naturally.
I think the most impressive thing you guys did was brand this test as a game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we're going to give you,
it's a quiz, yeah.
We'll be doing this fun game where you feel bad about how much you've forgotten in the last 5 years.
No, but the fun part will be when we, grade you and judge you on it.
Oh, sure, sure. And then it gets sent to your parents, and they're disappointed.
You're correct.
Fuck.
No, you're correct. 30 times or more.
Fuck. I was rooting for him.
Yes.
The big one is correct.
Yeah. Nice, 30.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time. So every 2 minutes for a second, you stop. But
I know.
Okay, so what is it? To stop breathing for a second. And so it's like kind of a gasp.
It's why you kind of people wake up all the time.
It's also they can never get to deeper stages because sleep, you always go stage 1, 2, 3, 4 REM. And so they just keep restarting to 1. So they're always sleepy.
Do you guys get a lot of that, that jolt right before you enter into deep sleep where you wake up from the start of a dream? That happens
Those
to me constantly.
Me too.
Always car accidents. That's what mine always
are. Really?
We're about to impact, and then I just jolt up.
It's right in the beginning of sleep.
Yeah,
right?
You don't even know that you're asleep. You think you're.
There's no explanation for that. No one has any idea what the fuck that is.
That's insane.
Really?
I love hearing that. I love
ghosts.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
There's a couple good theories on dreams. The two most interesting ones is that your brainstem just releases a bunch of chemicals, and your midbrain releases a bunch of chemicals while you're sleeping, and your brain is just seeing it essentially. But the other theory that's interesting is that And the reason some people believe that is because there's these old studies where they would watch people's, or they'd record people's eyes, and someone had a dream where they were like watching a ping pong match and their eyes were going like perfectly like back and forth like that. So like, oh, okay, so that makes sense that we're just like experiencing it. The other one is that your brain just has all this random activity as it's like kind of reliving memories and like just like sorting your new memories into your old memories. And essentially like what the dream is when you wake up, your brain is just like frantically trying to like piece together what the fuck just happened. And it's like our cognitive mind trying to like turn that into a memory and like into this like loosely structured thing.
Oh.
So dreams might just be that like last moment of waking up and being like, oh, that's what it was. But it might, we might not actually be thinking those things in real time.
It's like our brain wanting to like make something linear when it's really just a soup of sort of random snippets from both the things that happened to us and just the things we were thinking.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's my waking reality.
That's why you keep seeing all these like wood clowns.
Yeah. Wait, you guys aren't seeing them too?
Well, Zach, it's been a dream.
Jesus, I'm out of here. I don't give you permission to use this name.
I guess we're not getting to 63 episodes, man. No, it has been a dream.
Oh, that's very nice, guys. Sorry I was such a nerd the whole time.
No, we loved it.
Truly so interesting.
Yeah, you came to the right place to goof around with science-y kind of stuff.
Oh, good.
That's what we enjoy. Anything you want to pitch? Or not pitch? Pitch
no, please. Anything you want to pitch?
Okay, so here's the deal. There's this guy, Jurassic Park meets... I did just remember one of my favorite brain facts, which is really... Can I?
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
so
please.
If you put an eye... So in stage two sleep, there's these like little spindle, these like little sleep spindles, mm-hmm. which is like this electrical activity that happens in part of your brain. And like, you know, your eyes, they like go, the information goes to the other side of your brain.
I didn't know.
Oh, so your like right eye goes to your left half.
Yeah.
And
left eye
goes to your right
like
half.
The stroke thing.
Yeah, exactly. So if you cover someone's eye, like with an eye patch for like a week and then watch them sleeping, they'll have way more of those like memory, those spindles are like indicative of memories being recorded. They'll have like 100 times more of those spindles in just one half of their brain.
Whoa.
Also, birds and aquatic mammals.
This is the best, yeah.
Birds and aquatic mammals sleep half their brain at a time.
Whoa. Oh, that's why they can not fall out of a tree?
Well, neither of those are in tree. Oh, I guess birds are.
Right. Yeah, the birds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, it's for like when they're flying or.
That's like a dolphin.
Yeah. What? You keep getting more wrong. You have a dolphin queued up regardless of what I was going to say. I got to get out of here. Like dolphin!
Folks at home, if you have any brain facts, either of the Zach variety or the Madeline variety, throw them at us with brain facts. Hashtag brain facts. Tell us what you know about sleep, dreams, the way the brain works, wood clowns, whatever you got. anything that you want to, what is the word I'm looking for? That's not pitch. Plug. Thank you. I knew it was a P word.
In 2 weeks, you said it would come out 2 weeks from Tuesday. I think we're going to be on an airplane. So
that's right. Yeah. I did notice that. Yeah. You're
look for Zach.
Yeah. Look for me in the skies.
Yeah. If you're flying Delta. and then you'll be.
And I'll be in New York.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know what? In 2 weeks, look for Zach either in the air or in New York City. And if you see him, say a nice hello.
I'll be up in the air with the dolphins. Yeah.
Don't be sarcastic about it. He's pretty sensitive to that. He's going to pick up on it.
Oh.
He's got a radar.
See, that's not sarcastic. That's just accurate. And it hurts way more.
I know.
Thanks for having me. You guys
Thank
are great.
You so
You're
much.
Great.
You
this
guys
was,
are really nice.
This was so much Thank fun.
You.
Thank you. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.